You're listening to Central Time. I'm Veronica Rickert.
And I'm Rob Ferret.
We're talking about last month's John Doe ruling from the state Supreme Court and the impact that case could have nationwide.
In mid-July, the state Supreme Court ruled that state laws against coordination between political campaigns and issue advocacy groups were vague and unconstitutional. That ruling ended investigations into Governor Walker's recall election campaign.
Last week, the investigation special prosecutor asked the state Supreme Court to reconsider the ruling and may pursue it up to the United States Supreme Court.
We're joined now by Robert Federici. He's a money and politics reporter for ProPublica. Robert, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
So this was here in Wisconsin, but you say this could maybe set a precedent, or your the people you interviewed in your piece said that this could set a precedent nationwide. How so?
So yeah, that's the big unanswered question moving forward. You know, how this might ripple across Wisconsin's borders. One way, according to the experts I talked to, is that it could spark attempts to overturn similar laws in other states that restrict coordination. A couple of prominent conservative activists I talked to predicted that, you know, these sorts of challenges would take time, but that they are coming. And then the other way is if, you know, the special prosecutor makes the decision to appeal this to the U.S. Supreme Court, and if the Supreme Court decides to hear it, which is a big if, it could give, you know, a court that's already loosened the reins on political money a chance to do that again. The outcome could go in one of two directions, assuming that the appeal focuses on the coordination facet. You know, some experts are predicting it could be the next Citizens United. It could basically, eviscerate campaign contribution limits nationwide. Others are predicting that, you know, though the Roberts Court has generally ruled to loosen political money regulations, they've done so on the rationale that these independent groups that can accept donations of unlimited size are truly independent. So they'd be reluctant to loosen coordination restrictions given that past rationale.
And this idea of coordination is at the heart of, the John Doe 2 investigation and your piece. What do we mean when we talk about coordination here?
So basically what the justices in Wisconsin signaled is that, you know, politicians and independent groups can work together in most contexts. You know, as long as their ads don't explicitly advocate for a vote for or against. So basically they can run ads supporting or bashing a candidate, but they can't coordinate if they're explicitly advocating a vote for or against the candidate, you know, for or against Scott Walker or for or against someone else. So it's a pretty, academic distinction. I mean, you could run an ad saying, hey, Scott Walker is the greatest, but you can't say vote for him.
And so in that instance, as long as that third-party group doesn't say vote for or against a particular candidate, if I'm a candidate, my campaign can call that group up on the phone. We can coordinate our mission, our messaging. I, as the candidate, could encourage donors to donate to that group. All those kind of coordination under this Wisconsin ruling is okay now, where a lot of times in the past it was perceived and treated as not legal.
Right. So what critics of the ruling are saying is that, you know, for all intents and purposes, this, makes contribution limits moot because now individuals, instead of donating a max amount, which is relatively small to, you know, directly to the campaign, instead they can donate, unlimited sums to these independent groups that are closely aligned with the candidates they favor.
And are there other states, even if this didn't go to the Supreme Court, U.S. Supreme Court right away, are there other states that might be ripe to change their laws in similar ways here?
Yeah, a few states have been mentioned. I mean, what's important to remember is it's not just Republicans pushing to expand the boundaries of coordination law. So in Connecticut, the Democratic Governors Association has filed a lawsuit basically challenging the way they restrict their independent political expenditures. And what they wanted was an injunction that would have kept the state agency, the relevant state agency, from stopping them from coordinate with the campaign of the Democratic governor there. And the reason for their concern is that that governor had been a major fundraiser for their group. So if they do work with him and spend in a way that's favorable to him, they were worried they'd be accused of illegal coordination. So their hope is to be able to quash that preemptively.
And so the fear, as you started to touch on earlier, from opponents of money in politics, people want money in politics out of here, is that this could open another set of floodgates to let more money into politics. What are their worst fears if this became the law of the land nationwide?
Well, it's exactly that. It's that, you know, for all intents and purposes, campaign contributions won't really exist anymore. You know, instead of donating directly to a candidate, you just donate to one of these independent groups that, you know, some of them disclose their donors, some of them don't have to, but all of them can accept donations of a limited size. And as far as the candidate is concerned, the argument goes it doesn't make a difference because they know who the money's coming from.
Talking to Robert Federici from ProPublica about how the recent state Supreme Court ruling here in Wisconsin on the second John Doe investigation might change campaign finance laws around the country, especially when it comes to coordination between a candidate's campaign and so-called third-party issue groups, ones that don't say vote for or against a candidate, but can do almost anything but that in their messaging. So this could change things a lot, as you mentioned, if it goes to the U.S. Supreme Court. What's the thinking on whether the U.S. Supreme Court wants to tackle these issues?
So it's a big if. The biggest argument against them hearing it is the fact that there's no circuit split, and oftentimes that is what the Supreme Court looks for when they decide what, you know, whether or not to hear a case. Another big if is whether the special prosecutor Francis Schmitz is going to, you know, ask the U.S. Supreme Court to look at it. You know, a lot of people saw what he did recently in asking the Wisconsin court to reconsider the conflict of interest issue for the judges. They saw that as a signal that he did eventually want to take it up with the Supreme Court. But not on the coordination front. Instead, on this idea that a couple of the justices in Wisconsin should have recused themselves because their campaigns had been supported by some of the same groups that were part of the John Doe probe.
So it's possible that if that chain of events happens and this is brought and taken up by the U.S. Supreme Court, but only on the grounds of recusal or the issue of recusal, it might go to the U.S. Supreme Court, but not resolve and not expand this coordination ruling.
Right, yeah. If it's appealed on that front, it'll be pretty difficult for the U.S. Supreme Court to, you know, also make a ruling that relates to coordination. But nonetheless, it would be interesting. I mean, the groups that were part of the probe that the justices halted in Wisconsin, you know, were estimated to have spent millions backing the campaigns of two of the justices. So, I mean, it'd be interesting to see what they thought about those two justices not recusing themselves. But, you know, it would likely not provide any sort of new national-level clarification on how independent groups and candidates can coordinate.
Let's get into the arguments that lay behind this and a lot of other campaign finance issues. First of all, the people who are opposed to more money in politics say, in effect, more money equals corruption, or at least the perception of corruption. Is that argument coming up on this coordination issue?
Well, so yeah, I mean, you know, the argument on that side is that contribution limits exist for a reason, so that, you know, no one person or no one group can have extreme influence over a particular candidate. So if they can only donate $2,500, $2,700, you know, $5,200 for a couple, I mean, the limits change over time. They can't have that much of an impact. The candidate, the eventual, you know, elected official won't have, you know, won't be that indebted to any one person or one group. But the argument goes that if these donors can just donate, you know, $1 million more to a group that is working closely with a candidate, supports the candidate, and the candidate is aware who donated that money, it really makes no difference. On the other side are folks who think that when the government restricts how much you can donate to a candidate or to a political group, or how a political group can coordinate with the candidate. What they're basically doing is restricting free speech. And they get very nervous about the idea of the government going in and restricting such a fundamental right and, launching investigations like the John Doe investigation in Wisconsin that look into these sorts of free speech issues. So, I mean, the folks on both sides are very passionate about where they're coming from. And, one side is basically arguing the free speech argument. Another side is pushing the corruption idea.
And that free speech argument, the political speech argument, definitely came up from conservative groups here in Wisconsin, as you say, the ones that were targeted in the John Doe probe. Did we hear similar arguments from that Democratic governor's group you mentioned in working in Connecticut?
Well, so, I mean, what's been interesting to me is that this is an issue that's often broken down between left and right, but When you look at the political leanings of the people involved on both sides, you'll often see a mix. I mean, some of the folks who are the biggest advocates of tighter restrictions on money in politics are Republicans. You'll even see some folks on the other side who, have liberal leanings. So it's not so much a left-right issue, in my experience.
And it seems like the last barrier here may be that outside group and whether they can say vote for or against a candidate and still and not have any restrictions on them. Are we getting close to that point where it's more or less anything goes? You can say what you want, get money from who you want, coordinate with who you want?
It is not there on the national level. But the idea is that if the special prosecutor in Wisconsin does decide to appeal and does decide to go the coordination route, and if the Supreme Court decides to hear the case, that could be the potential. I mean, that's sort of the biggest fear among folks who want more regulation over money in politics, that what was decided in Wisconsin could be translated to politics on the national level.
One question that comes up in these issues is disclosure. If I donate to a candidate, they have to reveal that I donated to them. A lot of these third-party groups, they do not. Is there a movement to say, okay, we'll let this money in there, we'll allow this coordination as long as we know where the donations came from?
Right. So, I mean, that was one of the arguments the Supreme Court made. But what we've learned is that in a lot of circumstances, you can't figure out who's behind the money. So, super PACs, for example, are typically considered transparent on that front. You know, they have to disclose who their donors are. But in some circumstances, for example, if the donor donates through an LLC, and that LLC is registered in a state where it's difficult to find out who the actual person behind it was, it's hard to track where that money came from. If the money comes through one of these politically active nonprofits, these C4s, they do not have to disclose who their donors were.
Robert, that's all the time we have. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Okay, alrighty. Thanks so much for having me.
That was Robert Fattorucci, money and politics reporter with ProPublica, talking about how Wisconsin's John Doe ruling could affect campaign finance laws.
I'm Veronica Rickard.
And I'm Rob Farah. This is Central Time.